Won't you take me to
Funky Town?
Won't you take me to
Funky Town?
Won't you take me to
Funky Town?
Won't you take me to
Hello, hello there. My name is Maria. I'm with my co-host Corey, and we are The Real Guys. This is Siren Radio, and this is The Real Show with two E's. The music you just heard was Funky Town by Lips Inc. in 1979 from Shrek 2 in 2004. We've got a packed show for you today for this special broadcast, because every broadcast is indeed special to us. As always, I'm accompanied by my co-host Corey. How are you doing today, Corey?
I am doing very well, thank you.
Good, good, good. So yes, that was Funky Town by Lips Inc. in 1979. What year was that like, Corey?
Sumptuous.
Sumptuous year.
Very
sumptuous. Was it like any other year, 1979?
It was very similar to 1978.
Funny enough. Okay.
Very similar. Not much changed.
Nice. No, I thought you were going to say that. Today, as promised, because this is a bit weird, we talked about this last week.
Yeah, we did.
And now we're doing it. Which is sort of a first for The Real Show, wouldn't you say?
Exactly.
Well, we can do what we like. We can talk about something last week and talk about it this week. So today, we'll be giving you a much anticipated review of our sort of, I think this is our first film review of 2021. Is it of like a film that's come out in 2021?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. We reviewed Doom, which isn't 2021.
No, and we reviewed SpongeBob, which is also not 2021.
Yeah, so this is our first 2021 film in 2021. And that is Coming to America, the sequel to Coming to America, from 1988. Should we try and call it something else? Because
I mean,
should we call it Coming to America 2021?
Yeah, it is a little bit confusing unless you can actually see the title.
Yeah, we should call it like Coming Back to America or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I don't know, Coming to America as opposed to Coming to America.
Coming to America 2. I mean, Coming to America 2, I guess, makes more sense.
Yeah, we'll just call it Coming to America 2.
Exactly.
As opposed to Coming to America. But first of all, it's a day to honour Eddie Murphy, star of Coming to America, Prince Akeem himself. Tons of his films are out there. This has been very hard to do, but it's time to play. Good film. Bad review. So, all Corey has to do is sort out which film that stars Eddie Murphy is which, and decipher these from his one-star reviews. As always, I've trawled the depths of the film review site Letterboxd to bring you only the best of the worst. We're starting out with a new format today with our A, B and C options. Maybe it makes it harder, maybe it makes it easier. Does it make it funnier? Probably not. But you can let us know about that. Play along at home and try to guess which of these Eddie Murphy films perhaps didn't earn these bad reviews. Or maybe they did.
Okay.
Are you ready to get started and play?
I am indeed.
Good, you better be, because you're the only one that's here.
I say we get crack-a-lacking.
Right, well, let's get started then. Now, are you familiar with the career of Eddie Murphy, perhaps?
I am familiar with most of his films from the, like, 90s, 2000s era, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which I assume most people are.
Right, okay. Well, also, we're doing the sort of A, B and C thing, just to make it a little bit easier on Corey. Also, maybe to throw a few curveballs in there, try and get you off your game, perhaps.
Yes, and also just to make me look more stupid when I inevitably get it wrong.
Yeah, yes, that's also an added benefit.
Yeah,
just mostly for me. So here we go. We're starting off with a 1.5-star review.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Okay.
This was boring for me. Mm-hmm. The message of the film is important, but the actual film was bland.
Okay.
The music was average at best. I wouldn't recommend this film, D.
Okay.
Would you like to say that again, perhaps?
Yes, please.
This was boring for me. The message of the film is important, but the actual film was bland. The music was average at best. I wouldn't recommend this film, D.
Okay. Weirdly...
D. Are they giving this film a grade on its report card?
I don't know. I assume they're signing off. I think their name might be D. I don't know.
No, I... their name was not D.
Oh, okay, never mind then. I weirdly, I have an idea of what this might be.
Okay.
However,
here are your options.
I reckon you've screwed me as well.
Is it A, Mulan, 1998? Okay. Is it B, Shrek Forever After, 2010? Right. Or is it C, Norbit, 2007?
Okay.
So my talk me through your options.
My first thought was Shrek.
Right, okay.
Specifically, well, was just Shrek, right? Because I was like, okay, the message is good. And I was like, okay, Shrek. You know, the whole, like, he's an ogre, he's not the handsomest person, but it doesn't matter, love matters. I was like, yeah, cool. And I was like, soundtrack, Shrek, makes sense. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to screw me by going, Shrek 1, Shrek 2, Shrek 3. Thankfully, you didn't do
that. Would I do that, Corey? Would I do that to you?
I would have, if I was nice. In your position. However, I forgot Mulan existed.
Okay.
Which is unfortunate, because I like Mulan. And
he is, he's Mushu in Mulan.
Exactly. And he dishonors your cow.
Yes.
Which is my favourite line from Mulan. And I forgot, it's Disney, it has music in it. The music is good. The message is also good, because woman pretends to be man to get in army, ends up being, you know, a great fighter, reveals that actually I'm a woman, and then it's the whole, you know, women can do what they want and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And women are equal to men and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the message is important. The music is decent, and it's a 1.5, which I believe is the highest, lowest rating you've given, and Mulan is not a bad film, therefore, you know, it will make sense for it to get a higher, low rating, so I'm going to say Mulan.
You're going to say Mulan, you're not going to entertain Norbit or Shrek Forever After.
I ain't going to lie, I don't really know what Norbit is, so I'm ignoring that one, and I don't think it will be Shrek Forever After, because that's a bit of a stretch.
Okay, you're saying Mulan.
Mulan.
And you are right.
Yes.
Well done. That's 1 out of 4. Did I say there's 4? There's 4.
Oh, it's 4. Oh, you spoil me.
Yeah, we're going for the extra 4 today, not just for the 3.
Oh, man. Okay.
Right. Because there are a lot of Eddie Murphy films out there.
There is, actually. Do you think we should get down to business and do the next one?
Yeah, let's get down to business and defeat the questions. this is a 1-star review.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready? Are you prepared for this?
I am.
I did not laugh once. On another note, Eddie Murphy invented respecting women.
Okay.
Would you like that again?
Sure, why not?
I did not laugh once. On another note, Eddie Murphy invented respecting women.
Okay.
Invented? He invented. No one respected a woman up until this point, Corey.
Okay.
Up until Eddie Murphy, graced by the gods, brought his respect down upon female kind.
But what film did he invent respecting women?
We have to be careful here. We have to be careful what we say. right, would you like to see your to hear your options?
Yes, please.
A. Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Okay.
1987.
Right.
B. Harlem Nights. 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Or C. Coming to America. 1988.
Okay, you see, I expected the first one to be in here. I expected Coming to America 1 to be one of the options. Whether or not you would have made it a correct one, I'm not too sure.
Or am I throwing it in there to put you off, perhaps?
Exactly. However, I am in somewhat of a conundrum to the fact that, much like Norbit, I do not know what the other ones are. I know what Beverly Hills Cop...
You've never seen Beverly Hills Cop!
I know what it is, and I've seen the first one. However, the second one, sequels always get me. Okay, I'm going to ignore... what was it? Harlem? Whatever.
Harlem Nights.
Yes, I'm going to ignore that. Which, in common normal stuff, whenever I ignore one, it ends up being correct.
Right, okay.
So, but I'm going to ignore that. Would you have picked Coming to America? I mean, does he? He picks...
Does he respect women? I'd say he respects women.
He picks the woman who he wants to be with.
Yes.
You know... And then Beverly Hills Cop. I mean, he's cop. I'm gonna speed us along, and I'm gonna pick Coming to America 1.
1988. Thank goodness you're correct. Right, let's move swiftly on.
Yes, 50%.
And let's hit this.
I'm doing good.
Let me set the scene. Let's hit this 1/2-star review, Corey. And let me set the scene, right?
I like how you're going down in order. Very nice.
Yeah. This is Half a Star. Can I set this scene for you? Have a seat by the fireside. Okay. Let me tell you this story, okay? Have this review.
I'll close my eyes.
I'm sitting at home, right? I'm extremely tired and my mind is drifting. Suddenly, a brazen, foolish thought enters my head. How would a mouldy chicken nugget translate to film? How naive was I? 10 minutes later, HBO sent this film into my dying brain as a punishment for even daring to ask such a question. Is that okay. Epic enough for you?
Okay.
I'll give it another go because I quite like this one.
Okay.
I'm sitting at home, right? I'm extremely tired and my mind is drifting. Suddenly, a brazen, foolish thought enters my head. How would a mouldy chicken nugget translate to film? How naive was I? 10 minutes later, HBO sent this film into my dying brain as a punishment for even daring to ask such a question. Do you like that? So, is this film A, Shrek 2001?
Great.
B, Shrek 2 2004?
Great.
Or C, Shrek the Third 2007?
See, I know you'd do it.
I've done it to you, Corey.
I knew you'd do it.
I've done it to you. The prophecy has been foretold. The prophecy has been completed.
Right. Okay. I mean,
you're a psychic.
Yeah. It's like I knew.
Yeah. It is.
Okay. So, moldy chicken nugget.
Moldy chicken nugget. Translate to film.
Okay, I'm gonna throw this out there. I'm gonna say it's not Shrek the Third, mainly because that film is a moldy chicken nugget. I'm not really a big fan of Shrek the Third.
Right. Okay.
It's not bad, but it's not great either. Also, I'm gonna assume that this guy wouldn't have seen Shrek the Third first, because it sounds like it's his first time watching Shrek.
Right. Shrek film.
Yeah, because I'm going to assume he wouldn't have watched the first one or the second one and then gone to watch the third one. I'm going to assume he would have been told to watch a Shrek film and then not liked it.
Okay.
So, and it could be the second one, however, because the first one could have come out being great. And so, you know what, I'll go see the second one. Oh, it's a moldy chicken nugget.
I like this guy's very descriptive and
yes.
Very vocal, a lot of good vocabulary. I like this guy's writing style.
It could also be the first one. Because it's the first one. So maybe it's gone. Maybe it's gone to see Shrek when the Shrek hype was around. Good old Shrek
was
hype.
Was Shrek hype around in 2001?
Well, I mean, some would argue it's never gone away.
No. Shrek is love, Shrek is love.
It's still around to this day. It's the Shrek hype.
Yeah.
Which one's more like a moldy chicken nugget? It's Shrek 2. Why not?
Shrek 2. You're going to go with B, Shrek 2?
Yes.
And you're wrong, I'm afraid. Sorry. No. It was Shrek, the first Shrek.
Okay, fair enough. At least I want the third one.
Yeah, yeah. They've got this, the first Shrek. Moldy Chicken Nugget.
Moldy Chicken
this
Nugget.
This guy is, you know, he's tired. He's looking for a film. And HBO sent the film to his dying brain as a punishment for even asking such a question. How dare he think of a film as a moldy chicken nugget?
Oh, no,
so,
right.
We're going to move on to another Half a Star review.
Yeah, okay.
This is a bit of a long one. This is short and sweet, right?
Okay.
Short and sweet. I have nothing much to say, except this whole thing was very stressful and very frustrating to watch. This is Half a Star.
Okay.
Very frustrating and very stressful. Is it A, The Nutty Professor, 1996, B, Dr. Doolittle, 1998, or C, Dr. Doolittle 2, 2001?
Okay.
With Eddie Murphy as the leading character.
Again, I was expecting Dr. Doolittle and I was expecting Nutty Professor because I know both them films really well.
Well,
and you put them both in the same category, and the description says nothing about the film.
Yes, I was hoping you'd get. I was hoping I'd get a description that said nothing about the film. You've got nothing to go off
okay.
here.
Okay, again, I'm throwing away Dr. Doolittle 2. Mm-hmm. Gone. I hate third options. Is what I'm finding out. It's always a third option
you
I get rid of.
You never go. That's the strategy. Next time we do this, there'll be all options C.
if you do that, I'll still not pick option C, probably.
Yeah, probably not.
Now, is it one where he can talk to animals and he saves a tiger? Or is it the one where he plays like this whole family and, you know, makes himself thin and handsome and then doesn't want to be thin and handsome anymore? Which is the Nutty Professor.
Yes, is it? But do you think it could be Nutty Professor or Dr. Doolittle?
Okay.
What? No, he has nothing much to say, this person, except very stressful and very frustrating. What is stressful and frustrating about these films?
Okay, okay. I am going to make a very, very weird link here, so bear with me. First was Mulan. Mulan is a Disney film. Right?
Yes.
Now, one of these films, it's not a reference, but one of these films shares a name. Well, not shares. One of these films has a quote that shares a name of another Disney film. This is a massive stretch. So, I'm going to pick, I believe it was A, the Nutty Professor.
The Nutty Professor.
Because there's the one quote of the mum who goes, Hercules, Hercules, so I'm picking A.
Right, okay. It's a stretch. Have you stretched too far, perhaps?
Probably.
Yes, you have stretched too far. It was Dr. Doolittle, 1998.
Fair enough.
Well, that's 2 out of 4. That's half marks.
Eh, 2 out of 4 ain't bad. It's all right.
I'd give you half marks.
Yeah.
But of course, people aren't coming to your number one place for film and pop culture discussion and the topical debate. They're coming for the meat and potatoes. The meat and potatoes of this episode, which is the review of Coming to America 2. So,
exactly.
Shall we jump into that, or would you like to talk about Coming to America 1998? I mean, 1988.
I mean, the first one gets referenced a few times in the second one.
A few times?
Well, I mean,
bit more than a few, Corey.
Well, no. You see the first film. The first film second film.
They do a bit of a Cobra Kai thing. I was going to mention that.
Exactly. There's a flashbacks to the famous scene from the first one. Essentially, straight away in the second one.
Yeah.
It does follow a very similar story.
Right, well, let's do Coming to America 2.
Yeah.
Then we'll sort of go into Coming to America 1988. I think it'll happen naturally.
Yeah, it will do. It will do.
However, unlike it happens in the film, very unnaturally. Right, let's get started.
Okay.
First off, we've both got real ratings for these films.
Yes, we do.
But we'll wait a little bit. We return to the African nation of Zamunda.
Yes.
Which actually originated from a Richard Pryor sketch. Did you know that?
I did not.
Richard Pryor did a sketch about Africa or whatever, and he mentioned an African tribe called Zamunda, and that's where the name of the country comes from.
Oh.
It starts in a similar... Richard Pryor, of course, the famous Black American comic.
Yes.
Starts a similar way to the first film. I say similar, it starts exactly the way the first film starts, with the Paramount logo, and even the font is the same font.
Yeah.
In a different colour. I like to call it the Paramountain.
Nice.
That's what I like to call the Paramount Mountain. I call it the Paramountain. It's a portmanteau of Paramount and Mountain.
Nice.
I'm glad that I watched the original personally, or everything that ever happens in this film would go completely over my head. Don't you think so?
I mean, we can... You clearly have an issue with this film already.
I do have several issues, but I'm willing to let you sort of take a lead on this if you like.
Well, the first thing I have in my notes from watching the film, the first thing actually I have written down is good music. The first thing I was hit with in this film was DeSandra's first song is actually really good. And then obviously, yeah, so it starts off and they're in a situation, right? Next Doria turns up.
Next Doria.
Which, I ain't going to lie, by the sound of your tone already, I can tell you don't like, but I quite enjoyed the fact that we called that.
Right, okay.
It's dumb. It's I'm not hiding that. It is dumb, but I kind of liked that. They turn up, and essentially, it's like, again, it's similar to last time. We don't like you. I want your daughters to marry my son. Which is the opposite of what happened in the first one. But then it's the same thing of, my daughters are not marrying your son. Your son who happens to be this like breakdancing Jamaican guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, you can't marry, you know, your son can't marry my daughter because you haven't got a son. Ha, ha, ha. You need a son to be the heir of the throne, whatever.
Yes.
And then it's told through the shaman, I guess, that he has got a son. And then it cuts back to the first film and shows how he got a son, apparently.
Right. Well, let's pause it there for a minute. And let's sort of go over some... I've got a nice little breakdown of some of the characters in this film, okay? Yeah. Let's also... I'm not going to start off with Eddie Murphy's prince or king, Akeem.
Yes.
I'm instead going to start off with Wesley Snipes.
Okay.
Now, I like a bit of Wesley Snipes. Demolition Man. He's good. And he's a lot of fun in this film. He plays General Izzy, I think his name is.
You are correct.
Who's the leader of Nextoria.
Yep.
And, God, I haven't aneurysm every time I say the name of that country. A brain aneurysm. Anyway, he's the leader of Afronames country. And he does very good. He's very, you know, charismatic. He's very, you know, sort of skipping around. And he's good. I like his sort of attitude. He's very well. He was a lot of fun in this film. Someone who also is a lot of fun in this film is James Earl Jones, bless him. I've got down that he's just, you can tell he's really, bless him, I've got a bit of trivia here, another slice of trivia.
Okay.
He couldn't actually make some of the bigger scenes. Like, you'll notice that there's not really a full shot of him with Eddie Murphy, especially in the sort of bedroom scene.
Yeah.
It's sort of, that was shot on a soundstage with just James Earl Jones and a few other people.
Oh,
and then Eddie Murphy shot his bits. They're sort of, he couldn't, because he was 88 at the time.
Yeah.
He couldn't make it. But anyway, James Earl Jones does well. As he gets older, I think his voice becomes more and more like Darth Vader's voice.
Yeah.
Or Mufasa, which I think is funny.
Yeah.
He's always cast as someone powerful's father.
True.
You know, he's got a fatherly voice, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So I like James Earl Jones and anything. He's just a great class act, a real class act. Initially I thought, Prince Akeem has these three daughters, two of which I think do nothing. Is Mika the name of her eldest? His eldest?
I believe so.
Which is Akeem backwards. That was fine. I caught that myself.
I didn't.
All right. Okay. Anyway, I think she does. She's very well done in this film. I liked her a lot.
Yeah.
Especially because she sort of has that Mulan thing.
Yeah.
She wants to be in there. She wants to be in there with the lads, but she can't be. So she just works like it. Works like it, but she can't do it or can't be it. I like that. I like that a lot. Another shining light in this film is Semi, who is I think he's been dumbed down slightly. He seemed a bit more intelligent in the first film. In this one, he's a bit more like a goof.
Yeah.
Also, he's everyone's punching bag, which he was not like that in the first film.
No, in fact, he does literally get kicked at one point. If in the bloopers, I find that quite funny.
He does. He gets kicked on the ground.
But no, he's all right. He's all right. I was going to say, it does the thing that I like when films do, where they show the bloopers in the credits. I'm not seeing that in a while.
Oh, that is fun. That's very 2000s.
I do quite like that. But no, he's all right. Semi's all right. I don't mind him.
That's very 1990s, 2000.
He has his ending moment.
Let's talk about sort of the new additions to the cast. Because there's a couple of new additions here.
There is.
We have Leslie Jones as Mary, who is the mother of the out-of-wedlock child of Eddie Murphy's Prince Akeem and Mary. Leslie Jones is another comedian, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, a lot of funny people in this film. Such as Eddie Murphy, who I think it's more of a straight man role for Eddie Murphy, which he doesn't often get.
Yeah.
Often he's sort of, you know, the crazy comedy man to a straight man, but this one he is kind of a straight man.
Yeah.
Like, he's matured from his 1988 coming to America, I think. We have a few new roles. We have is his name Lavelle?
Lavelle. That's the one, Lavelle.
He is the son. He is the endeared out of wedlock son of Prince Akeem and Mary. I think he does well. I recognise the actor, but I don't know what from.
Yeah, I quite liked him. I thought it was quite good. Good old Lavelle from Queens, which gets mentioned a lot. Queens.
Lavelle of Queens, yeah. Okay, one thing I like in this film is...
Okay.
I know I mentioned how they bring everybody back.
Yeah.
Like, everybody. There's not a person in this film who is not in the other film.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Except for one person, but I'll get on to that.
Okay.
We've got a couple of people. We've got Cleo McDowell, who is the head of McDowell Restaurant. Not to be affiliated with McDonald's restaurant.
No,
which is a nice running joke. I like that.
They're very different to McDonald's.
Especially when he goes, look at these ice creams. We have toppings on the bottom.
Yeah, I've got that written down. I've got the McStuffin, which is different.
The McStuffin, yeah. The McStuffin.
And the Big Mick, which I thought was quite funny.
The Big Mick.
Quite like that.
Golden Arches, Golden Arcs.
Exactly.
Yeah. We have another funny moment in this film is... I thought the comedy was a bit flat. Not a lot of stuff landed for me.
Yeah.
But I think it was kind of a retread. I don't think this felt like a sequel. I think it felt like a bit more of an update or something like that.
I think, see what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why 80s films are getting sequels that are sort of in modern times.
Yeah.
I think it should be more like set in the 90s or early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, how are those old men in the barbershop still alive? I'm sorry. It's 2021. It's been 30 years. Those guys were like looked old in the 1988 Coming to America. And now they're still alive in 2021.
Magic, man.
And they look exactly the same.
Power of barbershop magic.
Barbershop, man. I guess working at a barbershop gives you magical immortal powers.
Maybe it's stress.
They stay open for so long.
Maybe it's stress. Maybe they're not old at all.
they're in their 40s. They're just stressed out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, they do a lot of sort of royal film tropes, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a bit of... You know, Akeem has to find the true heir to his throne in like another country, which is like a bit like Shrek the Third with Arthur, I guess.
Yeah, true.
There's a bit of Princess Diaries training him in like the ways of the royals. There's a bit of Mulan where the heir has to like wants to marry for love and not marry for their sort of heritage hinging on possible invasion of their nation.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. It's a bit of a mix. They've pulled from quite a lot of stuff. Also, I do have reservations about the title of this film, as we said. I think it probably should have been called something like coming back to America.
Yeah.
Or coming to Zamunda might have been fun.
Yeah, I mean it's one of the things where you look at it and it makes sense. But it's not
when you look at it.
It's exactly, but if you hear it, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have just called it Coming to America 2 and then just had the poster have Coming to the number America.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. I mean, obviously if you write it down, if you're searching it in, you'd put the 2 and whatever, but it's okay. I mean, yeah, it would have been better called something else.
Do you have anything else do you want to say? I'll sort of hand it over to you for a bit.
I have some stuff written down. Comedy-wise, it was kind of similar to you. I never, like, fully laughed out loud, for the most part.
Oh, I did. I did a couple. I did count my laughs like we did on SpongeBob.
But,
a grand total of 2 out loud laughs. Both of which were sort of for the same reason.
Yeah, so, like, there's some stuff at the start. There's a whole stick fighting thing, and then they do the thing that a lot of movies do when they're like set is like a sequel set in future time where they try to use like modern language, where Prince at this point he's not quite become king yet, but Prince Akeem says his robes are on fleek, which I found somewhat amusing, but didn't get a laugh out of me.
Mm-hmm.
One part that did, I think it's just because I wasn't expecting it, there's a part where they're teaching Lavelle, like, the Prince's Code, or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And he's like, right, you have to learn your ancient family. It's like, everyone has, like, the same name. It's like, whatever, Jaffa.
Mm.
And there's a part where he's trying to figure out what the guy's name is. And for some reason, I don't know why, when he says James Brown Jaffa, I just started laughing. Because, one, Eddie Murphy looks really shocked when he says it. And I don't know why, it just made me laugh.
James Brown Jaffa, yeah.
Because, one, Eddie Murphy just shocked and just stares at him like he's, like, staring into his soul. And I wasn't expecting James Brown to get mentioned. I thought it was funny.
Nice.
But that was one of them. One of the other ones, I can't quite remember where it is. I think it's when Lavelle's just come to the Prince's castle, right? And you'll probably know when it is. There's the king's assistant, and he gets this golden microphone.
Oh, yes, oh, yeah, which is played by the original guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Who's had, like, no roles up until this point. I bet he was sat in his house waiting for a Coming to America sequel.
Yeah. But, like, they're doing this talk, and it's a proper series, and he's, like, he announces him when he walks in. He's like, oh, announcing Lavelle from Queens. And then he gets this golden microphone and just belts out this, like, really high-pitched song.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting that either, and that kind of made me laugh.
I think he did so in the first film as well, or something like that.
I think, yeah. I think you're right. I do seem to remember it. I think it was as well. There's a lot of music in this.
There is a lot of music. One of my laughs comes from a piece of music. First off, James Earl Jones's King,
yep.
Who I like quite a lot in the 1988 version. He's on his deathbed.
Yes,
he's ailing. He's sick. He's gonna die. So he says, "Oh, could you want me to my Darth Vader voice? I don't know whether I can." Because he goes, you must have my funeral. Because I'm going to die. I'm going to hide soon. You must have my funeral. And then Akeem goes, yes, it will be the best funeral ever. It will be amazing. It will be, people will be talking about it for generations. And James Earl Jones leans over and goes, can we have it now while I'm alive?
Yeah.
Just so I can see it. I thought that was quite funny. Because you'd want to, wouldn't you? You'd want to sort of see what it's going to look like.
I mean, his actual funeral sequence was somewhat interesting.
It was very intricate.
There's a couple cameos in there.
There is. Let me just say, this is one of my first laughs came from the fact that Morgan Freeman just appears.
Yeah, he's there, playing himself.
He walks on as the narrator. He's like, I thought he was going to break the fourth wall and start talking to us, the audience.
Yeah, it's just Morgan Freeman, or, you know, as you should have casted him, Gordon Freeman.
I have this strange headcanon that A, Morgan Freeman either lives in Zamunda, and they just got him, or B, they just flew Morgan Freeman over to Zamunda to do this, just for the day, like he was there for the day.
Maybe in, like, you know, maybe that's his retirement home, you know?
Yeah, maybe so. And then they bring, then they bring Salt and Pepper in, which was to sing What's a Man, which I thought was funny.
Exactly. It's like, which I guess makes sense because, you know, they're from the 80s and 90s. And
yeah.
It would make sense for, like, Akeem or whoever arranged the funeral, whether it be Akeem or the
probably
king at the time. It makes sense for him to go, okay, someone from here is Salt and Pepper, why not?
Yeah, bring him in, yeah. That was funny. I thought that was quite funny as well.
Because I laughed in this film at anything I wasn't expecting, essentially.
Yeah, a lot of unexpected laughs, I think. I just want to mention that they even do very, sort of very deep cut references to the first film.
Yeah.
Like the girl the sort of girl who got a very small role who was supposed to marry Akeem in the first film, which says, oh, will you do anything for me? What did he say? Hop on one leg and bark or, like, growl like a tiger or something like that.
Something like that.
Or bark like a dog or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
And she's just doing it. And 30 years later, she's still doing it.
Yes.
Has she not died of starvation?
Well, it gets explained at the end that there's either a literal or metaphorical dog curse on her.
Oh, well, he put the dog curse on her.
Because at the end, when they're having the celebration, which we'll get to in a minute, of the actual wedding that ends up happening, It gets mentioned from General Izzy, but like, oh, thank you for lifting the curse from my sister. And she's talking normally again. So that's the
thing. Oh, right. Maybe he just told her to stop it. I don't know. I don't know.
Probably. He probably
some kind of weird dog curse.
Probably.
Also, for a film called Coming to America, they don't go to America very much, do they?
No, they go at the start for like 10 minutes and at the end for like 10 minutes.
Also, I appreciate, no, the one thing I appreciate in the film is how much they don't sort of pretty foot about. They get right into it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. They say, oh, you've got a out of wedlock song. Oh, yeah, let's go and find him. They find him immediately. And Akeem goes straight up to him and says, you are my son, come with me to my African nation. He goes, okay, let's go and get my mum.
Yeah.
Doesn't question it at all. No, doesn't question it. Doesn't go, who are you, crazy, insane man coming up to me? I've never heard of you before. Yeah. I've never heard of your country before. Why are you trying to harass me in the street? You know, I appreciate the fact that there's just no subtext. It's right, okay, cool, let's get on with it. I like that. I like this. There was no, you know, no sort of delay to the main artifice of the film.
Well, that's the thing. I was expecting, like, a full-on, okay, he's gone to America.
You're not my real dad.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, first he's got to find his son. And it's like, oh, he goes to the barbershop. And he's like, oh, your son is, you know, on the street selling football tickets. And then he gets it. And literally, yeah, straight away, like, when he tells his son and he goes to his mum, and he's like, oh, can this be my dad? And she's like, oh, maybe. And she remembers who he is doing a whole, like, oh, he's an African prince thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting when he turns around and he's like, oh, this is who I am, and his uncle's like, oh, I raised him, I was the father figure or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was expecting it, the whole film, to be like, okay, right, I need to convince this person that I am not only his dad, but that I care for him like a dad would. Instead, money gets dropped on the floor, and he's like, yep, I'm off. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Immediately, his mum's like, all right, yeah, let's go. But one, and this leads to one of my things for this film, because they enter the castle, the prince's castle or whatever, and they meet his wife who comes back from the first film, and Leslie Jones's character says, this is just like the Kardashians, and then she just stops, and then the scene changes, and I'm sat there like, this is just like the Kardashians. Except, this is just like the Kardashians, but with.
Yeah.
It's just like the Kardashians, and where's the punchline for that joke? And this has constantly happened in this film. There are setups to jokes that just go nowhere, or just stop, just go nowhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that could have been a very funny joke, but they just sort of cut it. I don't know why. It was the person that directed this film, his name's Craig Brewer, he directed Black Snake Moan, which is one of my favourite films. I don't know why he was given a bad hand or whatever, or he just had to do this, but no idea.
Yeah, there was. I feel like a lot of the jokes in this film are either here's a reference to a thing, like the On Fleek, or one thing that kind of got a chuckle was Nextorian soldiers trained with shake weights and Dance Dance Revolution. Which I thought that was a little bit funny. I like a bit of that. But
Rick Ross is in this film.
Exactly. Normally,
I like Rick Ross.
Normally, it's like, okay, here's a reference to something that's happening, like the Kardashians. Yeah. Or it's like, here's a throwback to like old stuff. Or it's like, there's a one bit where they were like, oh, what's your favourite cinema? And she's like, oh, American cinema's the best. And he's like, oh, all we have is like, remakes and like sequels to old movies from the '80s, which is obviously them referencing themselves.
Yeah, but self-referential reference, I suppose.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't mind that, but you maybe could.
I cringed a bit at that. I was like, oh, really? You're gonna do that?
Yeah.
You're gonna point out what you are? Good films don't do that.
Well, no, good films do it better.
Yeah, I suppose good films do it better, but I think. When the hits are good, the hits are good.
Yeah.
When they miss, they miss low.
That's the thing. It's a balance of like some of the jokes I found quite funny, and some I just didn't. It's when I was watching this in my head, I constantly had Borat 2, because it's somewhat of a similar thing of here's a film from like 2000, whenever the first Borat film came out. And then here's a sequel, like, years later, but you probably never thought you were actually going to get. And yeah. Similar with Borat, it's like it does the same thing as the first film. It has the same stuff. They've kind of recycled it, but Borat somehow manages to kind of keep it fresh, and it keeps it on like a very consistent level. Whereas most jokes hit roughly the same. Whereas this is more like it's got more extremes, but then it also has more lows.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to drop a little spoiler check in a minute, because I'm going to talk about... We probably should have done that at the start of this review, to be honest. We probably should have said, hey, if you want to see Coming to America 2, then, you know, don't listen to this. But, you know, here's your official spoiler warning, people.
Yeah.
Be careful. Anyway, they throw in this sort of side character.
Yes.
Who is Lavelle's hairdresser.
Yes.
I think. And... Yeah. Immediately when I saw him, I'm like, oh, there we are. He's going to do the thing that his dad did. And like, oh, I don't want to marry the person that I'm supposed to marry. I want to marry you, normal woman. And they go on and marry. In a sort of downtrodden church. But then Akeem shows up. Akeem pleads himself, and he goes, oh, you must return to Zamunda, and we're going to have a big, big wedding with you two there. You know.
Yeah.
And that's how it goes down. But there are positives. I know I may sound like a bit of a negative Nancy, but there are positives to this film. Yes. If you enjoyed the first one, you're going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Simple as. I enjoyed the first one, but I was holding it to the standards of the first one.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I got let down.
Yeah, you see, I enjoyed the first one, but I did the opposite. I watched the second one first. Because that's the one we were reviewing.
Really?
I watched the second one first, and then went back and watched the first one. So I didn't have expectations from the first one. Which I think is why, as well, when we talk about this, we have somewhat different opinions, because I watched the second one first. It's like if you're a fan of Metallica, right, and you're listening before the Black Album, you're like, oh yeah, I love Master of Puppets, it's great. And then the Black Album comes out, and you're like, oh, you hate it. But if you listen to, like, Black Album first, and then the stuff beforehand, you would like both, because you don't have the expectation of what happened before. It's same as like...
This is a very niche reference that only Metallica fans will get, Corey.
Okay, we'll put it this way. Saint Anger was... not Saint Anger. Black Album's the one that made him massive. Everyone hates it because it made him big. Right?
Yeah.
However, I like Black Album because what introduced me to Metallica, and I like everything before that.
Oh, right, yeah, okay, I'm with you
now. So it's that. It's like if you watch Phantom Menace first, and then you watch the rest of Star Wars, you probably like Phantom Menace. If you watch like Clone Wars first, and then watch Phantom Menace, you might not like it.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I get that. Characters who seem to be the same in one film change to the next.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Eddie Murphy's Prince Akeem becomes a real stick in the mud.
Yeah.
Which he totally wasn't the point of the first film.
Yeah.
First of all, he wasn't the stick in the mud. He was the guy that wanted... It was James Earl Jones who was the stick in the mud. Who wanted to, you know, we must preserve the ways of Zamunda. But Eddie Murphy wasn't like that. He was like, oh, I don't want to have rose petals everywhere. I don't want to be followed around by all these people. I want to, you know, wear American clothes and do American things.
Yeah.
And that was the whole point, right? But what I don't know, what can you expect from a sequel to a 30-year comedy that was made to sort of profit off people's nostalgia and wasn't fueled in any way by creativity or a love for the material? Call me shocked. It's just... I wasn't expecting much. I didn't get much. And it's not like it left me unhappy. It was a lovely-looking film. Visuals, beautiful.
It was, actually, yeah.
But it's... And it was fun. Got a couple of decent laughs out of it. Again, as I say, if you like the 1988 version, you'll like this one. A few things I thought were a bit dumb. Maybe more than a few things, like the name of the country that is next to Zamunda. And I feel like some of the characters maybe wouldn't do what they did in actual. From the first film, character consistency, not the best. But also I think that... I don't know, I get a bit stuck at these points.
Yeah.
It was sort of... The biggest problem in this film, I think, is that it tries to tell an original story, but I don't think it does. It's kind of 2 hours of like, oh, remember this? Remember when this happened?
Yeah.
Do you remember when this happened? Let's show it. Do you remember when this happened? Oh, yeah. Remember that movie that's better than this one? Let's look at that. But here's the best we can do for that right now. And
yeah.
And that's sort of it. But closing thoughts?
I mean, to be fair, one of the main reasons why I like this film was because I was home alone when watching this, and the music in this got me moving. So, to be fair, soundtrack-wise, I actually quite enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I think soundtrack-wise, it was great. Very energetic, very good. You got your African drums, you got your salt and pepper, you know.
Yeah.
What more could you want? You've got, Eddie Murphy right at the end playing someone else.
Oh, yeah.
As a singer.
That's good.
I quite enjoyed that. But yeah, I think overall it's good.
Right.
Now, but this is a point where we would give our ratings for the film, and I feel like already you can probably tell me and you probably aren't going to agree on this.
Right, well, I'm just going to say that no gripes, no grievances, no problems with anyone who's acting in this film.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're all giving it 100%. I know Eddie Murphy definitely is.
Yeah.
Again, the film felt a little flat for me, but I love seeing these characters again. Right?
Yeah, okay.
And surely, and if I was around in the 80s, I probably would have watched this the day it came out.
Yeah.
Because if Coming to America 1988 was as big a success as it was, because Eddie Murphy was red, white hot during the 80s.
Exactly.
He was absolutely on fire and getting hit after hit. But I don't think sort of remaking these with a new lick of paint is going to help. But you know what? Also, tiny thing. The McDowell's restaurant is just in the middle of a field.
Yeah.
In Zamunda.
Yeah.
No, there's no parking lot or no road. Who are they serving exactly? Does the entire nation live in this castle? I've never seen one house in Zamunda.
Well, you know, they need.
Is it like Wakanda? Is there an invisible field? A force field that protects the entire city?
They need the field for the grass that's in their burgers.
Right, okay. Yeah, oh yeah. I guess that's what they need the field for. That was a good recovery, Corey. I'll give you that one.
Thank you.
Right, let's do our real ratings. Let's stop messing about.
Okay. What have you got?
I thought, one first? Do you want to do the 1988 or the 2021?
Go 88.
Right, 1988, I give
a bit.
7.5 reels.
I was going to give it an 8.
Right, okay, cool. So, we're on the same wavelength with the 1988 version.
Which now brings us to the
right, go on, you go first.
I gave, I believe, Borat a 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Borat 2.
Yeah.
If you want the full title, I will give you that. Borat's subsequent movie film, Delivery of Prodigious Bribe to American Regime for Make Benefit Once Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. I never thought I had to say
Thank
that
you,
again.
Your life is spared today, Corey.
I never thought I had to say that again, but I thought...
Good, yes, you have fulfilled the one requirement of this show that you must name the entire title of Borat 2 every time you mention it. I was waiting to spring it on you, Corey. You know I was waiting to spring it on you.
I'm pretty sure I gave it a 6.5, and I think this is either on the same level as a sequel than Borat 2 is, or maybe a bit better.
Go on, make a decision.
6.75.
I think
it's a tiny bit better as a sequel than Borat
2 I'm going to give this a 5.
Okay, that's fair.
Because again, as I said, a little flat, some of the jokes didn't land for me. Some of the things, I didn't outright hate anything. It's not like I'm watching like the worst thing given to mankind. It's okay. It's decent, bit of fun, couple of laughs, a bit flat at times. The effects were alright, apart from the animal effects, I thought they were a bit naff.
Yeah.
The setting looks good, you know, it delivers on everything you'd expect from a sequel to an 80s comedy.
Yeah.
Everyone's back, it's good seeing old faces. Sam Jackson didn't come back.
No.
Apparently they'd written a scene for him, but he was unavailable.
That's a bit of a shame.
And do you know what that scene was?
Oh God, no, I don't. Can you enlighten me, please?
Right. Do you know who he's in the 1988 version, one of his first film roles?
Yeah.
As the guy that robs McDowell, as the bank robber that robs McDowell's.
Yeah.
And his role in the 2021 version would be a bank robber that robs the McDowell's in Zamunda.
Nice.
Like he goes across the world to rob this other store.
Part of me wishes they did that, and part of me wishes
Me too. Oh, dear. But instead he would have been dressed like a person from Zamunda, not a person from America.
Yeah.
Which is good. And also, the costuming in this film is great. It's like Game of Thrones. Everyone looks beautiful.
Yeah, I did notice that.
I love the look of...
The attire's great.
Yeah, the attire, the costumes, the outfits, everyone looks great. I bet it's something really down to the finest detail.
Yeah.
Like their character is like woven, like Game of Thrones, their character is woven into their dress sense.
Exactly.
Do you think it's like that? I think it's like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Shall we move on to our weekly rec?
Yes. I think we
now,
should.
Now, are you expecting something connected, perhaps, to Coming to America?
I mean, traditionally, it either shares a similar theme, genre, or actor/actress.
It shares a similar actor. And that actor is Arsino Hall.
Okay, so not Eddie
Murphy. Plays Semi, yes.
Okay.
He plays Semi, who is the sort of assistant best friend character, I suppose. In Coming to America. It is Arsino Hall. And he is in the Arsino Hall Show.
Okay.
And that is my weekly rec. It is a American chat show that ran from 1989 to 1994.
Okay.
It also had a reboot in 2013 that ran until 2015.
Okay.
And is effectively a sort of American talk show you know how a talk show works. You have a host, they bring on some guests, have a chat, and then the guest goes away, they have a band, and they play a song at the end. That kind of thing. It's like that, but it's hosted by Arsino Hall, the comedian. And he has a couple of comedy skits in there. He keeps it light, keeps it fresh. It's arrived on his charisma. It's really cool. I've watched an episode of this. They're only about 40 minutes, not too long.
Okay, decent.
40 minutes to an hour, pretty good. There's like loads of seasons. I think there's 6 seasons, but you know, chat shows, they have like thousands of episodes.
Yeah, loads.
Because they're on weekly.
Exactly.
It's a new, again, it's, I've, we've not really gone for one of these shows before, but I thought it's got, you know, it's a sort of lesser known 80s, 90s chat show. And Arsino Hall, one of the stars of Coming to America, it's his sort of show. It's good. It's fun. I like it.
Okay. Have you got a rating for us?
I have, yes. Okay. Much like Coming to America, I'm going to rate it 7 reels.
Okay.
And that is because I think it's sort of carried on. It's on his charisma. It's on his comedy style. It's on his rapport with the guests. I like how he always seems to be friends with the guy he has on, which is good. I think he had Eddie Murphy on like quite a few times.
It makes sense.
Because they always work together. And it's always fun just seeing them, you know, banter around and have a couple of jokes and a couple of laughs. It's good. And also, here at The Real Show, we are very accepting of every type of cinematic style.
Yeah.
Whether that be television shows, animation, talk shows, films, anything that's visual, anything you can get on a screen or on a film reel, we can talk about it, can't we, Corey?
Exactly.
Anything you can get on a big aspect ratio on a big screen or a screen of any size, we can talk about it. So that is my weekly rec. It is the Arsino Hall Show.
Very nice.
Episodes exist basically everywhere. So wherever you get your chat shows, other chat shows are available.
I mean, there you go. What more could you ask for?
Thank you. Yeah, and to close out this episode of The Real Show, we have another song from Shrek. Another song from Shrek.
Another Shrek song.
It is The Monkees with I'm a Believer from 1967. Are you a fan of Shrek at all?
I do enjoy some Shrek every now and then.
Good. Then you'll appreciate this song. You heard it here, folks, first. It is... what did I just say? I think I said you heard it here, folks, first.
You did, yeah.
What I meant to say was, you heard it here first, folks. Corey likes Shrek. So, we have The Monkees and I'm a Believer from 1976. Bye-bye, folks.
Bye.
true in fairy tales, and for someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me, that's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face, now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love, I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. I thought love was more or less a given thing. Seems the more I gave, the less I got. What's the use in trying? All you get is pain. When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.